Welcome back to the Men of Valor podcast. My name is Randall. I'm the host today. Thankful to Jordan, Eric, and Travis for letting me host today. Excited about today's topic. Hope you guys are listening. Hope you listen while you're driving, while you're working out, while you're mowing your yard, while you're eating lunch, whatever you're doing. We hope that you're listening. Hope you're enjoying this content. Hope you're enjoying our current series as we talk about fatherhood. And last week and a couple weeks, we've talked about what it means to raise a daughter, how you raise a daughter, how you raise a son, and you've heard different perspectives. I'm excited today about what we're going to talk about, but I want to introduce my guest today. My guest is my father-in-law. This is Dwight Davis sitting with me, and Dwight, I'm glad that you're here. This is kind of something he's probably never done before, and so he may be a little nervous. I'm a little nervous, but, you know, it's part of it, and we're going to have a good conversation. And so, Dwight, I'm going to have you just kind of introduce yourself a little bit, and then we'll just kind of get started. So tell us who you are. Tell us what you do, how long we've known each other, and, yeah, just a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Dwight Davis. I'm from a little town called Diaz, Arkansas. I've been self-employed the majority of my adult life, and I've got two kids, Lauren, which is Randall's wife, and Mitchell. And I've got three grandchildren, and just have been very blessed, very blessed.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Lauren and I will be married 13 years in December. And so that means that you and I, we met in 2020, I believe.
No, it'd be 2010.
Oh, 2010. Yeah, 2010. See, I'm not off. I interned at a church one summer and went off to play football at a school in Oklahoma. And when I came back to visit on Thanksgiving, Lauren and her family were visiting or attending there at the time. And Lauren's mom actually worked there many, many moons ago. And so I remember we kind of met over Christmas break, I believe, and Lauren and I started dating shortly after that. And so that's kind of when we first met each other. So we've known each other for a while. Yeah, so I'm excited for this conversation. Before we begin, and the topic today is raising children who are not your own. And I know that that title can be kind of deceiving, because what you're going to hear when you hear my father-in-law's heart is that both of his children are his own. But we do want to offer maybe some feedback and some input on just the perspective of having to step into a role. And then even my perspective as a youth minister, having to kind of be that manly influence in some of these young men and women's lives that may not have a father in the home. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. We hope you enjoy and you listen, and that you'll journey along with us as we continue to make disciples of men. So nothing left to do, so let's get after it.
This is the Men of Valor podcast. We exist to help men grow as disciples of Jesus.
Welcome to Season 2. We're glad you're here.
Let me tell you, I once was a sinner, but I am no longer a sinner. I am a saint. I am a son of the living God Most High.
Go home, embrace your wife with no expectations, and tell her that you love her. And ask her, how can I lead you? Tell me what you need. Be transparent, be open, be honest.
But if we arm ourselves and we never use what we have, that's useless.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening. Here are your hosts, Travis Watson, Eric Stewart, Jordan Loggins, and Randall Ballou. Let's get after it.
Welcome back to the podcast. Like I said, I am Randall, joined with my father-in-law, Dwight Davis. And man, I'm excited for this conversation, Dwight, as we just kind of talk about what it means to step into the role of fatherhood for a child that may not be your own. It's not something that you plan for, not something that you necessarily expected, but you know, there's beauty in stepping into that role and being a father figure or a father for someone whose dad may be absent or whose dad may not be present, or whose dad may just not be, you know, hitting the bar or doing what he needs to do. And so we'll talk a little bit, ask some questions, kind of discuss these things. But I guess for the listeners, how would you, if you could quickly kind of explain how you met Bethany and how you met Lauren, and maybe just a quick recap of how old were you when you met Bethany, and how old were you when you met Lauren, and how did that relationship kind of begin between you and Bethany?
Well, I had I'd been previously married, and unfortunately I did not seek God's guidance, and I ended up going through a divorce, and I'd been single about a year, and I was going to line dancing lessons, and that's how me and Bethany met, and we started talking on the phone. But I actually can still remember the date I met Lauren on September the 6th of 1996. Was the first time I'd ever met Lauren. They ran over to our house, and we took her over to her dad's, and that was actually mine and Bethany's first date.
So she would have been 5 years old.
No, she was four.
She was four. Okay.
Yeah, she would turn five that November.
That's right. 4 years old.
Yeah.
And you and Bethany met dancing. Lauren was 4 years old. Did you, when you first met Bethany, did you know that she had a daughter?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So you knew when you asked her to dance, you knew that she had a kid tagging along.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. See, I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, actually I dated a couple of ladies that had kids.
Yeah.
So that, I kind of felt like that would be something, you know, I would be dating somebody or be with somebody that had a child. So
yeah. And just to, for a little bit of recap, if you listen to the episode that I did with Lauren, you guys listeners, you may remember that, you know, she told a little bit about her home and kind of the structure there, and that her mother was married and then divorced. And then obviously her mother met Dwight, and they've been happily married for several years, what, 27
yeah.
years. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that, you know, Lauren's father, you know, had some struggles and was kind of in a rough place when she was a kid and absent for a little while. And so, fortunately, her relationship with him is fantastic now. They get along great. He loves our kids. He loves Lauren, and doing really well. And so there really is a redemption story behind all of this. And this is uncommon and unlikely, but, you know, Dwight, you kind of stepped in there. I mean, immediately you knew that Bethany had a daughter, and you had no kids previously.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, you just jumped right in when you and Bethany decided that y'all were going to get serious. It was like fatherhood overnight.
Sure.
So how did you handle going from a recently divorced single man who could basically do what he wanted when he wanted to now all of a sudden you've got a bride and you've got, you know, a at that time would she have been five at that time?
She was five when we got married.
So five when y'all got married. How did you handle stepping into that role as, okay, now I'm single man, but now I'm husband and now I'm also dad? Because I'll tell you this, when I stepped into the husband role, I didn't know jack crap what I was doing, and I still don't. And so you kind of had both at once. So how did you navigate that?
Well, I mean, honestly, I was in a little different situation. You know, a lot of people end up pregnant on accident,
mm-hmm.
and or even before they get married. You know, I had this is what I wanted. I mean, what I was, being Lauren's dad was attractive to me.
Yeah,
and so. It was, I was very fortunate that I was raised up with good parents and had a really good male role in my life, which was my dad. And you know, that was attractive to me. So,
yeah.
I mean, I took what I had learned and how I had been raised and tried to apply it to our life and was honored to do it. I enjoyed being a dad, even though it was scary.
Yeah.
It was really scary because I didn't know what I was doing, but, you know, I also knew that I took what my parents had done and I just applied it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And if you remember listening to Lauren's podcast when she was with me, I love my wife, but she can be a bit of a handful.
Yeah, she was a little bit of a spitfire when we first got married. Yeah,
and
yeah,
so
she was a little bit of a handful.
But. Maybe not the easiest to love, but definitely, definitely lovable. And so you've been a part of Lauren's life since she's 4 years old. She's 32 now.
Yeah.
And so, man, pretty much the majority of her life. And one thing I will say that I've always respected is that Dwight, you've never once have referred to her as a stepdaughter, as a bonus kid, as anything like that. When you introduce her to people, what is she to you?
Oh, she's my daughter.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I would say that, you know, for somebody listening that would might be in that position, and I give my own son this advice because he's in the same position that I was 27 years ago right now. And is that when you take somebody on, I mean, it should never be a considered a step or stepchild or whatever. And because it's going to be a barrier there.
Yeah.
And I found out, you know, over time how it has, I know Lauren appreciated it. And I also know that what it done for me, just a quick story was Lauren had graduated from beautician school. And as a buddy of mine called me, it was Alan Edwards. He called me and he said, would your stepdaughter want some beautician equipment, want to buy some shoes? I didn't hear anything, but he said, except stepdaughter. And I said, I don't have a stepdaughter. And he said, well, I thought Lauren was yours. And I said, yeah. And so I ended up after hanging the phone, I got to think about it. I thought, oh man, you know, I need to call him back. And
yeah.
So I called him back and I said, listen, Alan, nobody's ever referred to her as that. And I don't think of her that way because she's my little girl.
Yeah.
And, I said, she is not my biological child, but she is my daughter.
Yeah.
So, it has an effect on you, you know, words are powerful. And, so it has benefit to both sides.
It is, and Dwight, I see this in student ministry with, and especially in our preteens and, you know, that 10 to 14-year-old range where parents are divorced and they're going from home to home, and mom may not have somebody that she's settled down with permanently. Dad may not have somebody that he's settled down with permanently. And it's really difficult on the child because there is such a disconnect there. Mm. You know, you have your life, you're living your life the way that, you know, you've always lived it. And then all of a sudden here comes another man into the picture who is, you know, going to kind of fulfill some of that role. And, you know, I think it's a very true thing that kids especially are affected by the way that we refer to them and by the things that we say to them.
Sure.
And so had you in Lauren's childhood referred to her as your stepdaughter, nobody would have questioned it. Nobody would have blinked an eye. Nobody would have thought less of you. Maybe Bethany, but but nobody. I mean, not a person in the world. But because you chose to fully invest and because you chose, hey, you know, this is God's plan, even if I don't understand it, even if this isn't exactly how I envisioned it, she refers to you, I mean, as dad, like when we talk about dad. And what's really cool is now that her relationship is mended with her father, mm-hmm. She's got two, you know. Sure. And sure. So I do want to ask you that, and maybe you can help me, especially in the student ministry realm. How is your relationship with her father, her biological father, and how have you managed that over the course of several years? Because I know my personality, I would struggle, and maybe there was some struggle, but I've seen extreme maturity in how you've loved Lauren, but you've also have not gotten in the way of him being able to love Lauren. So was that something you kind of had to grow into, or is that something that you kind of decided from the jump, I'm not going to prevent her. I'm not going to try to replace him, but I'm going to be who I am supposed to be for her. How have you handled that?
Well, first off, it started out with, you know, a lot of sit down and talking between me and her mother.
Yeah.
And how we were going to handle things. And we started that actually before we ever got married, back when we were dating. We started talking about how we was going to deal with Steve. And it actually went really well. And Steve was was not able to be with her like I was. And so therefore he was not really a disciplinarian. I mean, because he was like, you know, Dwight, I just see her, you know, a couple times a month. I don't want to be whooping on her. And, you know, and we and him sat down, we got along good. And I just told him, I said, you know, Steve, here's the deal. I'm going to have to discipline her at times.
Right.
And I said, but I will always do that in love.
Yeah.
And I said, she's never going to get a whooping that she doesn't recognize it. It's because it's in her best interest.
Yeah.
You know, so we've done real good there. But the fact is even if the person doesn't have that, you know, he should always honor the fact that she's in my house and she's got to abide by my rules. And I'd have to do the same for him.
Yeah.
You know, as long as it's not something immoral.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's beautiful is because of the way that you guys have cultivated that relationship, now that we do like family gatherings and stuff for like Cooper's baptism or, you know, I was ordained a few months ago, and we have these big monumental moments in our lives. You know, Dwight and Steve are sitting at the same table across from each other eating, talking.
Sure.
You know, and that's so uncommon. That's so uncommon.
Yeah.
And I think there's a level of respect that you guys have, you know, with one another. Obviously, I think he respects the fact that you were able to step in and be there. And then you're able to respect the fact that without him, she's not here.
Sure.
Right. And so, you know, that's a cool thing. And I wish that parents, especially in student ministry, would set aside their pride and get to a point where, I mean, obviously, Dwight, the biblical view of marriage is one husband, one wife with kids who belong to them, right? We're not going against that. But in these cases where there are broken homes, you know, I just wish people would set aside their pride and come together and realize, hey, this isn't exactly how we planned it. This isn't exactly what we had in mind, but we're going to do what's best for the child.
Sure.
Because the real victim when parents and step parents and people like that, the real victim in those moments when they have issues is not the parents, it's the children.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, thinking about that, Dwight, what would you say to the parent or the father who is entering into a relationship with a woman who may have a child or children from a previous marriage? If you could just kind of encourage him, maybe give him, I don't want to say an ultimatum, but maybe give him, you know, hey, some concrete advice or something. Just what would you say to him if he was interested in that?
First off, him and his future wife have got to be on the same page.
Yeah.
They, of course, hopefully they'll be in, you know, going to church together, you know, studying together, praying together, and they're going to have to be on the same page. And he's going to have to be willing to recognize that he's going to be second, you know, from that point forward. You know, you know, Bethany and I recognized early on that, you know, my needs are, you know, come after everything else.
Right.
You know, everything else has got to be took care of, and Dwight's took care of last. Now, that's me. I mean, I don't know if that's completely right, but I think it is.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but I think that they're going to find that if they will go all in as far as you know, that relationship and that child also, you know, the fact is what's so sad is one out of three kids don't have a dad.
Yeah.
And that child should be very thankful that somebody wants to be their parent.
Yeah.
You know, wants to be their dad. So I would say that, you know, the biggest thing is that the parents, not only does the dad want to take that role, his wife is going to have to let him take that role as well.
Yeah.
You know, because she's going to, women sometimes have a tendency to want to, you know, take control and baby them. And Beth, we were so blessed that Bethany and I were on the same page as far as that, you know. And there were times that that Bethany would have to pull me to the side, you know, and we'd have to say a discussion and say, you know, you really think this was the best route to go? And sometimes I would say, yeah, I think you're right. And sometimes I'd say, no, I think I did that the right way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
And she would honor that. So, yeah, it's a lot of discussion because Man, if you were in my situation, I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah. Well, and the reason you guys were able to have those moments where you pulled each other aside and you're like, hey, let's talk about this, I'm assuming is because you started off those discussions early on.
Sure.
Like, you didn't shy away from it. You didn't – she didn't hide that she had a kid. Mm-hmm. You didn't try to ignore the fact that Lauren was there. It wasn't one of those things that 5 weeks into a relationship, you know, she says, hey, by the way, I have a daughter. Like, you guys were both upfront with where you were. You were upfront with your previous marriages and everything that, you know, had happened. And y'all didn't hide anything.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big, big deal. Because our kids, even at 4 or 5 years old, Lauren's sharp. All right. Lauren has the best discernment of anybody that I've seen. She's got kept me out of trouble. She's done. She can call a spade. I don't know how she does it. But a kid will call your bluff.
Sure.
And if you're faking it or you're not sharing everything, man, a kid will call you out so fast. And I think that's probably one of the biggest ways that I see in student ministry, I see, you know, parents lose the trust of their kids, whether that be parents, step parents, whatever, adopted parents, whatever you want to call it, is because they fake it or they're not transparent.
I will say this too.
Yeah.
If you don't mind. I think that's one of the things that helped mine and Lauren's relationship early on, is because I kind of think that Lauren, and like a lot of kids, she wasn't really sure if I was going to stay.
Yeah.
You know, because of, you know, the divorced kids, and naturally I think she's going to think that. But I think she realized that my yes was yes, my no was no, and what I said, I followed through with. And I think it made it a lot quicker that she recognized it. You know, he says he's not leaving, he's not leaving.
Yeah.
You know, she trusted me.
Yeah.
So there was no, of course, you've been around me enough to know that there was no, you know, there's no counting to three. There's no,
yeah.
You know, if I tell you we're going to do something, you know, then we did it. You know, we followed through with it. There's, there was no, she knew not to test me.
Yeah.
You know, so it, I think because of that, she became trusted in me early on. She may not have liked some of the things, but she trusted me pretty quick.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Lauren wasn't really the only one you had to convince of that either. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you had Bethany's parents, her sister, and other family members that, you know, they too may have even had the thought of, well, we'll see if he sticks around.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
How did you navigate that? Well, I mean, obviously you have nothing to prove, but at the same time, in a sense, I guess you kind of do. Like, you want these people that you don't know that well, but you know, you want them to believe that you're all in. You want them to believe that, you know, you're going to treat Lauren like your daughter. How did you navigate that? Was there some struggle maybe there with in-laws, maybe some relatives? Did you, at what point did they think, oh, okay, he's for real? You know, how long did that take?
Well, I can remember one conversation, Lauren, you know, had given her mama a little bit of trouble, and I had disciplined her. And the only time my daddy-in-law ever said anything, he said, Dwight, he said, you know, she's been through a lot.
Yeah.
And said, so, you know, you need to think about that. And I said, now, Bobby, I said, I love you. But the fact is the fact that she's been through a lot doesn't allow her to disobey.
Yeah.
And I think that from that day forward, he had my back.
Yeah. And see, that's awesome, because what could have been a very ugly moment ended up years later. Now, I mean, I think, If I'm right in this, in his mind, he's like, okay, he's for real. Like, he's not just disciplining her to be mean or trying to prove a point. He truly does care about her well-being. And since then, I've never once seen him question, you know, how you care for your kids. I think that's a cool thing, because there is a part where you know you don't want to puff up your chest and be like, hey, I got this. But at the same time, you do have to show, hey, I'm a grown man and I love her and I can handle it. Like, it's okay. And I think that's a special moment, because from man to man, you know, you kind of have to have those moments where, cause I'm just assuming Bethany's father is looking at all of her past relationships and things, mm-hmm. and probably thinking to himself, Oh man, I'm just waiting on this explosion, you know, because he'd been through some junk with all of that. And so what would you say, Dwight, to the child who is possibly gaining a new parent or gaining a step parent, if you will? How would you encourage that child? My dog just walked in. Let me get her out of the way. So what would you say to, how would you encourage that child?
Well, first off, like I said earlier, I would say that they should be very grateful that somebody wants to be their parent, their dad. And the other thing is that I would say, do your best to treat them, with the respect that they deserve. And regardless of what you've been through, I would say that they would need to just do everything that they can to recognize they're probably scared too. Their dad mm-hmm. is probably scared to death. He doesn't know what he's doing, and he's trying to navigate through this thing. So I would say give them some patience, but be thankful.
Yeah,
just be thankful and work with them. And the biggest thing is to not try to do turmoil between parents.
Oh yeah.
Not to start. And most things that kids that hear, really they just need to keep it to themselves.
Yeah. Don't turn the parents against each other. Yeah.
And then on the other side too, something we never talked about too is parents. One of the things we also agreed is to never never. We had an issue with Steve. We never said anything in front of Lauren.
That's good.
So it, both sides.
Yeah, because you don't want to influence her thoughts, or you want her to develop her own mind.
Sure.
When it comes to how she feels about somebody or something,
and
you don't want maybe just hypothetically there was a bad day. And you got kind of irritated, and you voiced some frustration to Beth, and you're like, "Man, he just made me mad today. I wish he wouldn't do that." You do that behind closed doors so she doesn't see that, because then you can process that and deal with that and think, "Oh, maybe he was just having a bad day."
Sure.
But if you say that phrase in front of Lauren, "Well, he made me mad," well, then might possibly get defensive of you, and then now she's growing animosity towards her father. I see this especially, Dwight, in teenagers whose parents are divorced and then they remarry, and for example, you have like a 14-year-old, boy or girl, and a new stepdad comes into the picture. They already, I mean, fortunately Lauren was 4 or 5 years old. 14 years old, they've got their mind made up before they even come in there. And so my heart kind of breaks for that teenager. We see this in our church, and I mean, unfortunately our church is so large that divorce happens quite a lot. And there's things that happen, and it's sad, but I think the encouragement would be show grace, mm-hmm. show that man, show that woman grace. Now, some people just suck. Let's just be honest. I mean, there are going to be some potential stepmom or stepdad candidates that are just not good. In that event, you've got to be able to speak openly and truthfully to your biological parent and say, "Hey, I just don't feel good about this," but you do have to trust them.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can put ourselves in really difficult situations when we start to turn each other against each other, especially in that. Like, there could have been moments where Lauren could have, 10, 11, 12 years old, been like, Dwight's not my real dad, so I don't have to listen to him and things like that. And not that Bethany would have listened to any of that, but that would have stung. Like, that would have cut deep, right? I mean.
Well, and we had Lauren actually did threaten her mama.
Oh, okay.
She went to her mama and she said, "I'll just move in with my daddy." And her baby turned around and said, "Let's get packing." And scared, and she got scared and she backed up. No, it's one of those things. So, sometimes you have to call their blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. But because kids want to manipulate you.
They will. Well, so that kind of leads me to my next question. What was the most challenging part of becoming a father to Lauren? And what would you say is the most challenging part, even today, the fact that she's your daughter by choice? I mean, that's a special thing. Like, you chose her instead of her just become, having her, you chose her, right? So that's a very special To me, that resembles the gospel of Jesus just choosing to love us, you know, and how you chose her. She was, quote unquote, an orphan in need of a father. And man, you stepped in there for that. So thinking about that, I know how difficult I am to love, and how I just imagine how God just looks down at me sometimes and thinks, you moron, right? Like, you're so difficult to love, but I'm still going to love you. What would you say has been the most challenging thing in becoming a father to Lauren, whether that be at 4 or 5 or 32? What would you say?
Well, the most challenging was the beginning. In the beginning, it was she was manipulating her mom, and she was going through a lot of emotions herself. After going to, you know, being part of the divorce and everything. So she was struggling. I think the biggest struggle I had was trying to figure out how to build a relationship, also, you know, deal with her, her issues as far as discipline, and then to, you know, gain her trust, you know, to do all of those things, to be able to navigate that. And one of the things I did always when I did discipline her, I made sure that she knew that it was in her best interest. And I always made her repeat back to me, now, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
What have you done to do this? And I wanted her to know that even though the reason I do discipline her is because I love you.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was a little, for a guy that had never been a dad before, it was kind of hard to figure out on the front end.
Yeah. Now, I've heard you, just as long as we've known each other, I've heard you speak of your parents, and you speak so highly of them. You know, these values and stuff that you talk about that you were trying to instill in Lauren and grow in her, these are not things that you just pulled out of thin air, right? No. These are things that were ingrained in you, that I'm just assuming were also ingrained in your parents and from years and years and years. And maybe they learned different than we did, but why? Why is it so easy for you? And this may just be from one dad to another. I didn't have that kind of structure growing up, right? And so a lot of how I parent and how I dad my two boys, you know, your grand boys, is really a lot of it's trial and error and doing what I didn't have growing up. Are there some things that you learned from your parents that translate well to being Lauren's dad? Are there some things that maybe didn't translate well? How has that impacted you in being her father?
Well, I knew that early on that trust was a big thing, because my dad, a lot of what I had used as far as trying to figure things out was from my dad. I knew my dad had my best interest, but I knew when he told me no, that there was no, there wasn't a second one coming. The next one was going to be punishment. You know?
Right.
He was, you know, like I said earlier, there was no counting to three. He said no, and that was it.
Yeah.
You know, and so I knew that what he said is what he meant. And so, yes, I did that. I did a lot of that with Lauren. My daddy, one of the things that he did not do is he did not a lot of times make me recognize, you know, why that I was being punished.
Okay.
And he never referred back to the Bible.
Yeah.
And Bethany was really good when we would talk to Lord and said, you know, this is what the Bible says.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
You know, so
and church has been a priority for Lauren and you guys since day one.
Yes, and my first day at church was less than 2 weeks old.
You know,
so I don't guess I've ever been more than 3 weeks at a time without going in a church service. So, they had a big influence on me, and I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah.
Very thankful.
Well, I've got a couple more questions. I'm going to ask you this one because I think this one might get you a little emotional, and I'm not trying to do this on purpose, but...
Well, I'm easy myself.
I do have to ask. I want to hear a couple things. One, I want to hear, how have you seen maybe the way that you stepped into Lauren's life translate to how she is the mother to her two boys? Like, how have you, does it make you proud to kind of see her be, in my opinion, she's a rock star mom. I mean, just incredible. But does it make you proud to see that?
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. It does make me emotional. I mean, just like yesterday, we were all there for Mother's Day, and to see all of our family together and to see the boys are playing together, and to know that when those boys go home, that they're loved and they're took care of.
Yeah.
You know, I don't worry about that. There's so many kids, so many parents that that have to worry about, you know, what's my daughter or son going to be doing? I mean, are they going to be? I never dealt with the drug thing.
Yeah.
You know, we've not, neither one of our kids has followed that path. And I'm so thankful that they hadn't. And so, yes, I can't, there's a lot of things that a person can do in life that people think are something to be proud of. But boy, those kids, raising good kids is, you know, you look back and I know Bethy, we've made the conversation several times. You know, we've done a lot of things wrong, but boy, look at our kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We've done a lot of things wrong, but I've sure got good kids.
Well, let me ask you this. What would you say? I mean, obviously, man, Lauren's your daughter, and I wish that parents in church would, in this situation, would latch onto their kids just like you have with Lauren. So two-part question. What's your favorite thing about Lauren? And we're going to talk about Mitchell here in a minute, too, because I don't want to leave him out, because I've got a really good question about Mitchell. But what's your favorite thing about Lauren, and what are you most proud of in her life?
Well, I'm going to say, you know, of course, that's changed over the years.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, right now, my most favorite thing would be her being a mother.
Yeah.
I mean, she's just, like you said right now, she's a rock star mom.
Oh, she is.
I think the kids ought to get a little dirtier than what she lets them be. But besides that, she's a rock star mom. And you know, when I look at where she was at, it's, when she was a child, and thinking about her, and then I come in here and I see that she's cooking supper for y'all tonight. You know, she's a good wife.
She is.
You know, and she's a godly woman. And there's so many things I could say that I'm proud of that I can't really pick out just one.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I get that. I'll tell you, a couple of my favorite memories. One of them was when I asked you if I could marry her. And I remember that conversation because I was terrified and I didn't know how that was going to go. And you made me promise. You said, Randall, I don't care. I don't care what you do. I don't care how you do it. I don't care about anything. He said, just treat her right. And yeah. And you told me, he said, just treat her right and love her and keep going, like keep in church. I mean, you asked me those things. And then I'll never forget at our wedding, when when you walked down with her, and our pastor said this, I want to see if you remember this, because I think you do. Our pastor said, he said, who gives this bride away?
Yeah.
And what did you say?
I said, her mother, her father, and me.
Yeah. See, and man, that just puts chills all over me, because I think about, one, how selfless of a comment that is, but two, you just, what a moment to be a dad. Like, that's the moment where it's like, okay, you know, I'm her dad, but I'm going to be your dad. And
Yeah. You're
able to honor her biological father. You're able to honor her mother. You're able to honor her. But at the same time, it didn't take away anything from you being there, you know, to walk her down, which is
sure. Super
special.
Well, unfortunately, her daddy didn't get to be there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I didn't know you were going to say that. I don't remember that being said in rehearsal. I don't know if you and Brother Johnny had talked about that, or you and Bethany had talked about that, or, you know, like your many businesses, that's something that you figured out as you were walking down the aisle. I didn't know, but I'll never forget that. And I thought to myself, that was special. You know, that was a cool moment of, I'm gonna continue to stand in the gap and be there for her. And so, man, I got really one more question. This one may get some conversation going. You kind of hinted at this earlier, but I see true fruit in what you did for Lauren, because as you mentioned, you and Bethany were blessed also with another child. Mm-hmm. You had your son Mitchell, who I consider a brother, and just a good guy. We could I mean, we could just say endless words about Mitchell as far as just his character and what kind of person he is. I never envisioned Mitchell as a dad because in my mind, Mitchell's still just Mitchell. You know, he's always just little Mitchell, or you know, as he's growing up. But Mitchell has now stepped into the same role that you stepped into, you know, almost 30 years ago for his son, Cooper James. And so how did your commitment to Lauren translate to your son Mitchell's role as a father? And how's it make you feel knowing that your commitment to Lauren not only impacted and changed her life, but your commitment to Lauren also influenced the way your son made decisions when it came to who he was going to marry and how he was going to father?
Well, I think as far as his decision, you know, Mitchell actually came to me and he said, "Dad, there's a lady in our Sunday school class that I like, and she's got a little boy." And he said, "What do you think about that?" And I said, "Is she a Christian woman? Is she a follower of Christ?" And he said, "Oh, yeah." And yeah. I said, "I'd say go for it," you know. And if we hadn't had the situation that we did in our home, I don't know that he would have, a 21-year-old boy would have even considered that.
Yeah.
But it worked out real good for us,
yeah.
You know. And so I'm going to say that he thought, well, you know, this is somebody that I could be attracted to.
Yeah.
You know, the child. And he's made a wonderful dad. And
absolutely.
He spends lots of time with Cooper James. And I think he saw mine and Sissy's relationship. And I think he was attracted to that.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know if that answered your question, but yeah.
No, it did.
Yeah, Ben and Sissy and I have always had a great relationship, even when we were trying to figure each other out. You know,
yeah.
it started, it was good from the get-go, you know. But,
well, I just think that's awesome that the translate. I don't know if I've ever asked you this. How old was Mitchell when he learned or realized that Lauren wasn't your biological daughter? Do you remember that moment, or did that just kind of happen naturally?
I don't. I think he was around 8. Yeah.
I think about my kids, my 7-year-old, he's pretty sharp, you know?
Yeah.
And so to be 8 years old and then finally learn that, I'm sure that was probably a little bit of a shock to him.
I don't think he found out that Lauren was not my biological daughter until he found out that Bedney had been married. Yeah.
And see, I think that's just the beauty of a healthy relationship and marriage, that it's so healthy that it's not even in question.
Yeah.
And I mean, even to the point, like you mentioned earlier, you convinced yourself that, you know, he said, "Would your stepdaughter want some, you know, equipment?" Yeah. And you had convinced yourself that I don't have a stepdaughter.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's such a cool thing. And it speaks to how healthy that relationship is, and you know, just a special thing. Well, let me ask you this. I'm dealing with a situation right now in our church with a couple that is struggling, probably heading for divorce. This will be the third or fourth one that we've seen over the past several years. Like I said, it happens way too often. The kids are really torn. You said you've kind of endured you've endured divorce before, so has Bethany. How did you help kind of heal some of those wounds? And because divorce is hard, man. Yeah. It hurts. I'm sure you dealt with some hurt. Bethany's dealt with some hurt, but even Lauren dealt with some hurt. How would you encourage, say, a teenager, 13, 14, 15 years old, whose parents are divorced? There's really no hope of them coming back together. It's a done deal or whatever. How would you encourage them kind of with your experiences as a dad and also, you know, a man who's been through that?
Well, of course, you know, I've seen it from my side.
Yeah.
You know, I've never, with my divorce, I didn't have any kids. So I don't know that I could do the best job of, advising them. I would say that, you know, try to be patient.
Yeah.
Don't get into the to the drama.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, I would probably, if I was in that position, whether it be a grandparent or somebody there that that I could actually talk to.
Yeah.
And you know, because when you got husband, you got mom and dad, you can't talk to this one without it, you know, them being an issue about the other one. But find somebody that's neutral, and whether it be a pastor or a youth director, because there's a lot of emotions going on there, and you know, and there's, you know, when my dad died, I really thought I was good.
Yeah.
I thought that I was emotionally good, but I may have told you this, I started going to places and didn't remember going there. I'd drive 8 or 10 miles and think, what am I doing out here? And come to find out, it was in my subconscious.
Yeah.
So I would say that a young man or woman that's going through that, they need to find somebody they can trust that they can counsel with.
Yeah, I think that's wise. And piggyback that with what you said earlier about, you know, don't be divisive. You know, if you're the cause of the divorce, say an affair, whatever,
yeah,
don't try to play superhero or like you're a super Christian. Yeah. Own your mistake.
Sure.
And never try to, you know, don't try to use kids as pawns in a game, because it's not fair to them, right? It's not fair for a child to, you know, be used. Don't try to turn your kid against their mother or anything like that. That can be very, very dangerous. And so,
well, and it's real powerful as a parent too, when you know, one of the things that my daddy did not do is when he disciplined me, he was usually mad.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I learned, was not to be mad when I disciplined my kids. And, so I would say that, that, a parent that is willing to, you know, own when they do something wrong. And, you know, even with my kids, when I disciplined them and I was maybe mad,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'd go back and say, you know, what you done was wrong.
Yeah.
But the way I handled it was also wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so kids like it when you're honest.
Well, I think that goes back to that ownership something I don't know if you've realized this or even thought about this, but it just kind of hit me. You would not have any grandchildren had it not been for a broken home.
Sure.
I mean, have you ever thought about that?
I mean, none of my grandkids got any of my blood in them.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it's crazy to think about that, but I mean, they're your grandkids, just like they're your daughters. And I mean, I've never even thought about that until this conversation now, but it's so true. And that's just, in my opinion, and what I believe is true of scripture, that's just the beauty of redemption.
Sure.
I mean, how good is God to you to give you two beautiful, healthy children, and then three grandchildren that love and adore you? And I mean, you know, what did we do to deserve any of that?
Oh, I didn't deserve it at all. Very thankful.
Really puts things into perspective.
Sure.
Well, Dwight, I have enjoyed this, and this has been so good. I think guys will, if you're listening to this, and we want you to be encouraged, be, you know, keep your head up, show grace, own your mistakes. But if you're struggling, if you've got, you know, the new daughter or new son that you didn't know that you were going to have as a package deal, or your family happened, you know, kind of just by randomness, you know, people come together, just do the best you can. I believe this wholeheartedly when it comes to fatherhood. The only thing that you can't do is quit.
Yeah.
We're going to make mistakes. I make mistakes every single day as a dad. But the one thing I've decided is that, Dwight, I'm not going to quit.
Sure.
And I think if we make our minds up that, you know, no matter how hard this gets, no matter how many times Lauren, when she was six, seven years old, is throwing a fit in the living room and her grandma's trying to cast demons out of her, whatever, no matter how terrible it gets, you're just not going to quit.
Yeah.
No matter how many times they say, "Well, I can't stand you," or you're too hard on me," or "You don't really love me," whatever it is that they say, or get mad, roll their eyes, just don't quit. That would really be my encouragement. And you guys have heard some of my story about my home life, and you know, not having that dad figure that kind of steps in and navigating some of that even into my adulthood of, you know, it's difficult because I want my kids to look back and think, you know, I had a really good dad. And I'm confident, I'm not just saying this because you're here, but I'm pretty confident that when that day comes, Lauren and Mitchell are going to look back and think, I had a dang good dad.
I hope so.
And so now, granted, you know, 80% of that's Bethany, but we all know how close my mother-in-law is to Jesus. Yeah. We don't deny that. But, well, Dwight, is there any final challenge, maybe last words, something, if you could just encourage the man who is struggling, maybe loving his bonus kid or his stepchild, however you want to word it. Is there anything you'd challenge or encourage him? One last thing.
I would say that one of the things that I would, especially that I had to learn early on, is when we went to do anything, where does Lauren fit in?
Yeah.
You know, and it's because, you know, you have a tendency to start thinking selfishly, and you have to quit thinking about what's best for me, but what's best for them. And so where does she fit in at?
You know? Yeah.
So I would most of all, just the relationship with Jesus Christ is what ultimately we want for all of our kids. And as a parent, that should be the number one thing that we would want from versus sports or money or anything.
Absolutely.
That relationship with him. And it just seems to get a whole lot easier when mm-hmm. that happens.
It does. It does. And you've been blessed to see both your kids saved. And
I've got all my grandkids, but still got one we're praying for.
And hey, it's going to happen. So yeah. that's a blessing. And I think that is all contributed, just one, to mainly the grace of Jesus Christ, but also just giving a child a chance, you know,
sure.
giving them a loving environment and a chance. What a precious opportunity. And so I tell you, as Lauren's husband, I'm thankful that you stood in the gap for her. I'm also thankful that you got her on the back of a garbage truck that one time. So she got to, feel my pain for 6-7 years when I rode on the back. Actually didn't ride on that long. I drove most of it, but
yeah.
That's a story for another day. Lauren, my father-in-law's had a lot of jobs, and Lauren has gotten herself in some things that she probably will never do again. So, but hey, let me pray. Thank you for this, Dwight. I think this was awesome. I hope this challenges you guys. I hope, if you have any questions at all, or any comments or anything, man, let us know. Reach out. You guys can get a hold of me, and my father-in-law would love to help encourage you, pray for you anyway, mm-hmm. whatsoever. I just know he's that kind of guy. And so, man, just keep loving well. And just remember, when it's tough and you're struggling, just don't quit. Don't quit loving them. So let's pray. Father, we love you. God, we just thank you for who you are, Lord. I thank you so much that you've given us this opportunity to talk, Lord. Lord, learn some things about my father-in-law that I didn't know, and learn some things about Lauren. And so, Lord, I just pray that you be with the men that are listening to this podcast. And Lord, be with the men that are struggling with whatever they're dealing with, Lord. If they're entering into a relationship and there's a child that isn't biologically theirs, Father, I pray that you give them strength to love and lead well. And so, Father, I just ask that you humble us, Lord. Help us all set aside our pride. And Lord, especially in the situations where co-parenting is difficult, Lord, I just pray that all parties will just set aside their pride and come together for what's best for the child. And so, Lord, let us not forget how precious children are in your sight. And Lord, let us honor and love them the way that you have intended for us to. And Lord, as Dwight said, most of all, let us focus on our relationship with you. So God, we thank you. I thank you for today. I thank you for this conversation. Lord, I just pray that you lead men, you guide men to become more and more like Jesus. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, fellas. Hey, enjoy this conversation. Hope you guys will listen in. And we'll catch you next week.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode, and that you will continue to join us on this journey to make disciples of men. Be sure to check out our social media outlets as well as movministries.org for any information, and be sure to join our digital men's community.
Hey guys, we wanted to let you know that Men of Valor Podcast is proud to partner and be a part of the Recovering Fundamentalist Podcast Network. You can find their podcast and many other great podcasts by going to rfpnetwork.org. We would love for you to go and check them out as well. Hey, keep fighting, win today, and as always, go light it up for the King.